I'm morning. Today's daf in Chulin is Mem Gimel. We're in Mem Beis Amud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud. We're up to the Shev Shmaisasa, the seven trefas of the Amoraim. The Mishnah yesterday, beginning of the third parak, introduced us to Eila Trefas. These are the trefas of an animal, and we went through in the Mishnah 18 various defects in an animal that would render the animal a trefa. Once an animal is trefa, we're no longer allowed to eat the animal. Even with the benefit of a shechita, we're still not allowed to eat the animal if the animal becomes a trefa. Now, the Mishnah yesterday did not say the number 18. The Mishnah just simply enumerated 18, but without actually giving us a number. In fact, there's certainly room in the Mishnah to allow for more trefas other than those that stated in the Mishnah. If you look at the end of the Mishnah says Zaklal. This is a general rule, and every time we have the word Zaklal, so you and I know that it only makes reference to a sampling. Meaning the Mishnah is just giving us an example of some of the trefas, but doesn't necessarily include all the trefas. However, we noted yesterday the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, which we saw on the bottom of Membeza Medal, that said that these are Yurches trefas, that there are 18 trefas. So we know that Rabbi Shmuel caps himself at 18 trefas. Another major machlokas that we saw in the course of yesterday's daf is whether or not a trefa is chaya or a trefa is ain't a chaya. Whether or not we expect a trefa to be in a terminal state and not make it to the end of the year, once a trefa has in fact formed, or can the animal go and live even beyond the 12 months? Again, that is subject to a machlokus amongst the Tanaim. The Braisa Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that Trefa is Chaya, Trefa's Chaya, and the Mishnah seems to be of the opinion that Trefa's Ein Chaya. Another major difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The problem that we encountered yesterday, and we're going to just quickly finish up in the beginning of this morning, is doing a little bit of an accounting. Because in the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel, he says that there are 18 Trefas. The problem is that there's more than 18. Now, if we just went with the Mishnah by itself and only with the Mishnah, so that would be fine because the Mishnah actually counts and enumerates 18. So that's fine. So, but the problem is that we know that there are additional trefas. Four that are found in Brisas and another seven that are said by the Amoraim. As I explained yesterday, the Amoraim did not come up with new trefas. The Amoraim are just giving over a Mesora of various trefas that they have learned from their Rebbe, and their Rebbe obviously from their Rebbe, et cetera, et cetera. Why weren't these particular trefas mentioned in the Mishnah? It's a wonderful question. I may actually give a suggestion to that a little bit later on this morning. But nevertheless, there are more than 18 trefas. So again, another four coming from various other brises and another seven coming from the Amoraim. So that makes for an additional 11 more trefas. Now again, for the Mishnah standpoint, that's not a big deal because the Mishnah is just giving us a sampling. But when it comes to the brise of Rabbi Yishmael that says that there are 18, there are only 18, so that becomes a problem. So what we did yesterday is that we introduced ourselves to the four additional trefas that are mentioned over by the brisas, and basically with a little bit of finagling, we took out one from the Mishnah, we consolidated a couple more in the Mishnah, basically we were able to squeeze in another four into the Mishnah and keep the number at 18. And again, just to repeat, we don't really need to do that in the Mishnah, but we need to do it for Rabbi Shmuel. But okay. So we were able to hold the number at 18 so far with the four additional ones of the Braisa. Good. Fine. But now we got another seven coming up. And to fit another seven more into the listing of the Mishnah already, that's going to be a little bit difficult. And the Gemara is going to be able to do it. Gemara is creative like that. So first, we're going to introduce ourselves to the seven of the trefas of the Amoraim, the Shev Shmaisasa. And so the Gemara starts off, and this is where we left off yesterday, and we pick it up right now. It's right in the middle of the Amud, on Mem Beis Amud Beis, V'ha'ika Shev Shmaisasa. What about the following seven? Amar Rav Masnai Hai Bukat Atma Deshap Miduch Dei Trefa. So number one, a dislocation of the thigh. In other words, if the ball is totally out of its socket, so a total dislocation, so the animal's a trefa. That's number one. Number two, v'amarachish bar papa mishmei derav. Laksa bekulya achas trefa. If, let's say, one of the kidneys is diseased, meaning not missing, not punctured, diseased. Right, it's a new one. We haven't heard that one before in the Mishnah. So that animal is going to be a trefa. V'tana nita atchok shera. And a third of the Shev Shmaisasa. Let's say the spleen is to be removed. The animal is still going to be a kosher animal, even with a removed spleen. Now, interestingly enough, that's the removal of the spleen, but the spleen's intact, but there's a puncture in the spleen, so that kind of leakage is not good for the animal. The animal is not going to survive, and the animal is, in fact, going to be a trefa. Okay, so that's another one.
Cut it off.
Huh?
So cut it off.
I mean, we're talking about internal organs. I don't know if it's that easy, but okay. If let's say you have the trachea and the windpipe that are nidaldulu, they're hanging. So that means to say that they're dislocated from their spot, so the animal is going to be rendered a trefa. If let's say one of the ribs is dislocated, so that animal is going to be a trefa. Now, if you're remembering yesterday in the Mishnah, so we said nishtabru rov tzloseha, that if most of the ribs are broken, there are 13 ribs in the in an animal, 13 sets of ribs. So yesterday in the Mishnah, we talked about where the majority of the ribs are broken. Now, this is an additional trefa. So in other words, it's not going with the Mishnah. It's in addition to the Mishnah. So Rashi notes already that this is not a kasha on the Mishnah, because the Mishnah, we were talking about broken ribs. Here, we're talking about a total dislocation of the rib from the actual vertebrae. That's different, says Rashi. Right, Rashi, I'm reading the Rashi inside. Afagav, let me just read the Rashi. Afagav dinam b'masitza nishtabru rov tzalosea, davka nishtabru, ha'asam bi'in an ruba. When we're talking about broken ribs, so there you need the majority. Aval nekrat tzala achas mi'ikara, I'm reading the correct gears of Rashi, im chatzi chul yasakit mefarash l'kaman, trefa. But if we have a total dislocation of the rib from the vertebrae, so that in of itself is going to be trefa. Yes?
The rib is attached to the chul yasakit. It's a continuation. So what, it came out with the chulia?
Yeah, no, you're right. It was just...
That would cut the chitasha if it moves out of
it. I don't know. I don't know. Al-gugola shenichbasa beruba. If the skull was dented, in other words, enough hits to the head where the skull actually gets a dent in it. Now, previously in the Mishnah, we were talking about a perforation of the membrane of the skull, but now we're talking about a denting of the skull itself. That's another trefa. Ubasar chofes rova keres. Now, if you have most of the wall, the abdominal wall, opening up berubo, or the majority of it being exposed, trefa, such an animal would in fact be a trefa. So, what do we have right now? We just introduced ourselves to another 7 trefas. In addition to the 18 of our Mishnah, in addition to the 4 of the Braisa, so we got 18 plus 4 plus 7, and that's a lot more than 18, right? That's my math for the day. That's a lot more than 18. And so what are we going to do? How are we going to be able to consolidate all this and keep it into the number 18? And again, the question is on Rabbi Shmuel. The Mishnah never said, the Mishnah never gave us a hard cap of 18, so we're fine with the Mishnah. The Mishnah ended up with the word Zaklal, which means that there's room for more, so the Mishnah's fine. But the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel gives a hard cap at 18, and so we have 18 plus 4 plus another 7. That's a problem. So here's what we're going to do. So Nikuve Tamnaya Have. So the Gemara says what we're going to do now is we're going to do accounting, and we're going to consolidate. And here's how we're going to consolidate. It's actually it's really smart. What we're going to do is that we're going to take all the various trefos that have a nekev that require a puncturing, a perforation, and we're going to lump them together as one. So even though it is 8 different cases, but categorically, it's really but one. Okay, good. So now, Nekuve Tamnaya Havo. Now, if you do accounting in the Mishnah, you go over all the different various perforations that would render the animal trefa, you will find 8 in total. So now what we're going to do is we're going to take those 8, we're going to consolidate that into one category. So now 8 becomes 1. Good. Really smart. So Chashvin B'chad Apik Shava Ayel Shav. So now what we've done now is basically we've taken 7 out of the Mishnah. Because by taking the 8 Nikuvim and putting it into one category, so now that 8 now becomes 1, leaving 7 over. Good. Take the Shef Shmaisis and plug them in. So Ihachi, the Gemara says, well, wait 1 second. We have to be consistent. Pesuki Name Trehavu. In other words, there are 2 times where a severed pipe is no good in our Mishnah. The 2 examples of the severed pipe is the gargaris and the chut, the windpipe and the vertebrae, and the spinal cord. I'm sorry, and the spinal cord. Where there, if it is nifstak, if the majority of it is severed, so the animal is going to be a trefa. So once you consolidate and categorize all the nikuvim, so you have to do the same thing as it relates to the psuke as well. So that means now that we have just brought the number down to 17 because we took 2 and made that into 1. So the Gemara says, Psukinami. I'm sorry. Ihachi Psukinami Trehavu. Chashvin Bechad. So Batzalu Chadu. So now we're actually short one. And again, that's a hard cap at 18 But when I say a cap, I don't mean a cap, meaning it's the upper limit, meaning it has to be 18. Va'od, and furthermore, says the Gemara, derav avira mishme derav anami nekuvahi. And when it comes to the spleen is also a trefa of nekuva. So that means, so that's a chef shmeis, even though it's a chef shmeis son, even though it's an additional one, but that one doesn't count because that one now is filed under nekev. And so therefore now we are not only short one, we're short two. Okay. Ella hanach tarti dafakta lo tepuk. So the Gemara says, okay, so remember what we did previously with the four brisas? So remember how we knocked out a couple? So we're just simply going to take them back and put them back into place. And you go through the top Rashi over here. I'm not going to go through it together. And basically, the number can come out to 18. So basically, what we have over here is we introduce ourselves to the 18 trefas of the Mishnah, the four additional of the Braisa, the Shev Shmaisasa, and with a little bit of nifty accounting, we're able to keep that number at 18 and exactly how it's done. So the Gemara went through a number of different suggestions and variations in terms of how to get to the number 18, but the number can in fact be 18. Amar Ula. We're on the very top of Mem Gil Mamad Aleph, and now we're continuing and learning about the Yurches Trefas. Now Ula is going to introduce the Yurches Trefas, but what Ula is going to do is not give it to us organ by organ, like we had in the Mishnah, but rather give it to us categorically. And what he's going to do is he's going to give us eight categories of Trefas. And they are, sorry, let me read the statement. Amar Ula Ches Mine Trefas, Namrula Lamosha Misinai. So again, this is part of the Halach Lamosha Misinai. Moshe was given the information and organized in the following manner, and it is Nekuva Psuka, Netula, Chasura, Kura, Drusa, Nefula, Ushavura. It was pretty good, right? Okay, be even better if we understood it. Okay, but I'm just, you know, for a moment impressed at how quickly I read it. But anyway, so number one is Nekuva. That means all the trefas that are created through a perforation. Now, as we just learned together, it could be as many as nine. Right, the eight of our Mishnah, the additional one of the spleen. So it could be as many as nine different trefas. But here again, we're just doing eight categories, and then we'll just fit it into the categories. Number two is psuka, a severance. Now we already learned together that there are two two organs of the animal that would be rendered a trefa if they are severed in its majority, and that's the trachea and the spinal cord. Netula, if it were totally to be removed. So that would be the liver. The Gemara's assumption is that the liver, to a certain degree, regenerates. And as long as you have some liver remaining, so the liver itself is going to regenerate. But if the entire liver is removed, so then the animal's a trefa. Number four is chasura. If the animal is missing part of the organ, what would be an example of that? Like we discussed yesterday. Well, let's say the leg is cut off, right? The leg was cut off, and we said that if it was above the upper knee, so right, there are two knees to an animal, to the back leg of an animal. So if it was above the upper knee, the animal would be a trefa. Again, that was open for debate yesterday, but that's an example of chasura. Number five is krua. That would be a tear. An example of a tear. So the carous being torn open is an example of a tear. Drusa, if the animal was attacked by another animal, right? Remember in yesterday's Mishnah, we described how we have to suspect that an attack by animals will introduce some sort of either venom or infection into the animal and be debilitating and terminal towards the animal. Nefula, blunt trauma. We talked about how if the animal fell from a certain height, so the animal now is considered nefula. If it checked in immediately afterwards, the animal is presumed to be a trefa, no good. If the animal survived for 24 hours after the fall, the animal is ikshera. Okay, ishivura. And finally, a breaking. And so if the ribs are broken, the majority of the ribs are broken, so the animal would in fact be a trefa. So these are now the eight categories of ula. Now, if you carefully go through the categories that we just did, and you compare them to everything that we learned between yesterday and this morning, so you realize that in Ula's categorization, there is actually a trefa that he clearly does not subscribe to. Now, you could think about it, but you don't have to think that hard because the Gemara is about to tell us. Lafuka lakusa derachish bar papa. So what he is objecting to is this idea of a diseased organ, specifically the diseased kidney. Meaning in one of the Shev Shmaises that we just got done learning in the beginning of Shir today, so we learned that one of the Shev Shmaises is Rachish Bar Papa, right, one of the Bar Papas. So he says that a diseased kidney would in fact render the animal a trefa, And because now we're looking at Ula's categorization, and he doesn't have a category of diseased, so that means that he is simply objects to that of the treifa. Amar Chia bar Rav ches treifas yesh benekuva. So Chia bar Rav says, okay, so now that we have the eight categories of treifa, so let's talk about nekev. And Chia bar Rav says, how many subcategories of nekuva do we have? Eight. Now, if you've been following, the number really should be nine. The Gemara points out yesh benekuva im tomer tes mara Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda ketanila. So he says, okay, but as far as the spleen is concerned, I disagree. Meaning, yes, there is a brisa that introduces a puncture in the spleen to be a treifa, but Chia bar Rav says, I just simply disagree.
Mara is the spleen?
Mara is the gallbladder. Thank you. Okay, good correction. So, im tomer tes mara Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda ketanila detanya nikva keva nikva adakim treifa. So here the brisa says that a nekev in the keva, that's the fourth stomach, and in the intestines, so that would render the animal treifa. And Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda amar af nikva hamara. And Rabbi Yosef Rav Yehuda adds a nekev in the gallbladder as one of the treifas. Clearly over here, he stands as a position that is not agreed to by all the Tanaim. You see clearly in the Brisa, the way the Brisa is structured, that he is presenting a das yachid, a singular position, and Chia bar Rav says, okay, but we don't accept that position. And so therefore, that's why of the nekuva, he only has eight in the category and not nine. The Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan. From here going forward now, we are going to be going over five different halachas of treifa that are said over by Rabbi Yochanan. Number one, halachah Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. So the first one is that the halacha in fact follows like Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, meaning that he does in fact subscribe to the position that a puncture in the gallbladder would render an animal treifa. Number two, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, my ahajulei chavrei le Rav Yosi bar Rav Yehuda. Now, what was the dialogue over here regarding a punctured gallbladder? Meaning, we now have a machlokus whether or not the animal is in fact a treifa or not a treifa. And again, it's one of those common themes that occur over the course of our perek, is that we assume that if the animal is a treifa, therefore it's terminal, and therefore will not survive. Okay, that's what we assume. And interestingly enough, meaning scientific testing, to a certain degree, of course they did that. And by the way, there are Gemaras that are very clear that they did some sort of basic scientific studies in terms of determination of terminal condition, not terminal condition. But on the other hand, meaning in addition to that, and more primarily, Psukim and Tanakh. Meaning if Psukim and Tanakh could lead us into a direction of one way or another in terms of whether a condition is terminal or not terminal, so they're going to use that in terms of a proof. So here the Gemara quotes from Psukim and Iyov. Now, Psukim and Tanakh, the first thing is you have to know Tanakh. Okay. So all right. Leave out comment. So anyway, so the Gemara says, so Psukim and Iyov. So the Pasuk and Iyov says, Yishpoch la'aretz mararasi. So Iyov says that as part of his suffering, so one of the things that happens is that he started having leakage in his gallbladder, and it started spilling out of him. And Vadain Iyov Kayim. And the Gemara notes, and Iyov survived. So you see over here that even though there is a leak in the gallbladder, but nevertheless the person's going to survive. So Amar Lahem, Ein Maskir...
The difference in human and
animal. It's so interesting. I'm so happy you made that point. I was going to make it. That the that whether or not we could take the conditions of a human being and translate that over to a bovine animal, right? You could have made a distinction. The Gemara is assuming that the anatomy is more or less the same, and the prognosis is more or less the same.
But if a human being, the nifsek chut hashedra, he becomes paralyzed, but he doesn't.
The best news is I'm not a doctor, so so I'm not going to give you. I'm not going to give any kind of medical input on this. Okay, fine.
The other question is: does modern medical science change any of this?
Right. That is an overarching question. That's one of the overarching questions. One of the benefits of Daf Yomi. I don't have to concern myself with that question right now. So Amar Lahem, but it's something that needs to be discussed. So Amar Lahem, Ein Maskirin Maisa Nisim. Now the counter argument to that is Eov survived, but Eov survived. He is not typical. He is atypical. He's an outlier. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you how I know that. Dilo Temaachi Yiflach Kal Yosai Velo Yachmol. Because we also know that it was part of Eov's suffering, so he also lost his kidneys. Right? Yiflach kil yosai. I lost my kidneys. right? Now, with one kidney, okay, this little I know. So with one kidney, a person could survive, but with the loss of both of the kidneys, so that's it. No more functioning of the human being. So, and the assumption, of course, is by animals as well. So yiflacha yosav alayachmo, so mikachaye. So the Gemara says now, is it possible for a regular person, an average person, to live under those conditions? Elanisa shani. So it must therefore be that Eov, he survived, he sustained himself based on Nais. He is an outlier, and whatever is true by Eov is is not transferable to your average person or average animal. In Dichsiv, in fact, the Pasuk says, Rakis Nafsho Shemor. In fact, the instructions that were given to Satan as he was allowed to inflict suffering upon Eov is, look, do whatever you want to him, but just make sure that he lives. So over here, so because there was clear instruction that Eov was to survive anything and everything, so therefore whatever conditions he suffered is not going to be representative of what typically is survivable or not survivable. Hachinami nisashani. Okay. Another halacha said over by Rav Yochan. V'amar Rav Yisrael b'Rav Yosef, v'amar Rav Yochan, halacha k'divrei Omer k'zayis. The halacha is in fact a k'zayis. Now, what is this referencing to? So we're back at the liver. So again, the assumption of the Gemara is that livers have regenerative properties, and if some of the liver is gone, that does not render the animal a trefa because the liver is going to regenerate. How much liver needs to remain in order for the animal not to be a trefa? So here the Gemara quotes in the name of Yochanan, the answer is kezias. I need a kezias of the liver to remain. In fact, later in this perek, we're going to actually be more detailed in terms of where the kezias needs to be. But for right now, all we need to know is that Rav Yochanan issues a ruling, which is that it is a kezias of liver that needs to remain. A line that we get throughout Shas, and that is that Rav Yochanan always subscribes to a Stam Mishnah. If there's an anonymous Mishnah, Rav Yochanan's position is, which interestingly, by the way, other Amoraim obviously disagree, but Rav Yochanan's position is that that is in fact the halacha. Utnan. And meanwhile, nitla akaviv lo yishayem enuklom. So the Mishnah says that if the liver is removed in total, which means to say that there is nothing remaining, this is a Mishnah, so then the animal is rendered a trefa. What's a simple reading of that Mishnah? The simplest reading of the Mishnah is that any remnant of the liver would make the animal not a trefa. So hanishtar kshera, afagav dolahavik kezayis. And so what we have over here is a discrepancy between a ruling of Rav Yochanan and meanwhile Rav Yochanan's adherence to a Stam Mishnah. So Rav Yochanan rules that you need a kezayis, and meanwhile the Stam Mishnah says you don't even need a kezayis. And so which way do we turn to? So Amarai Ninu Valiba de Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, actually, whether or not Rav Yochanan subscribes to a Stam Mishnah, that is a machlokus amongst the later Amarayim in terms of whether or not Rav Yochanan does in fact adhere the halacha to a Stam Mishnah. And so therefore, we don't have to have agreement between the two statements of Rav Yochanan. The first statement of Rav Yochanan, obviously whoever quoting Rav Yochanan, when I say whoever, we actually know. It's Rav Yitzchak b'Rav Yosef, who says that you need a kezayis. So he does not subscribe to the idea that Rav Yochanan has to adhere to a Stam Mishnah. Ma she'ein kein, the other Amoraim do in fact say that Rav Yochanan adheres to a Stam Mishnah. So basically, a debate within Rav Yochanan. Right, we changed the dal to a vav. This is another halacha. Marishanikva v'chaved sos masa kshera. Now, what if the gallbladder has a hole in it? So, as we already learned, machlokus amongst the tanaim, whether or not this renders an animal trefa. Let's assume, like Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, for now that it does. And in fact, we don't have to assume that. We know that Rav Yochanan subscribes to his viewpoint that a puncture in the gallbladder would render the animal trefa. Now the Gemara says, but let's say that the area of the puncture happens to be flush against the liver. Gallbladder rests against the liver. I had a picture. I have it right here in front of me. Okay, good. Gallbladder rests flush against the liver. And so let's say now the puncture of the gallbladder is on the side facing the liver. So what you have now is a natural seal between liver and gallbladder. Marsha nikva v'kavitzos masakshera. So Rav Yochanan's quote is saying that such an animal would in fact be kshera. So natural seals would in fact be kasher. The Amar Rav Yitzchak Rav Yosef Amar Rav Yochanan Nikav Akurkavan the Kishalo Kayem Kasher. And now the Gemara moves and turns its attention to the birds. Now it's interesting that birds, although we'll discuss them later also, but in the treifa of birds was not introduced in our first Mishnah. Meaning our first Mishnah goes through Yuches Treifas, but really is focusing on the animal. Now, the truth of the matter is, what I'm saying is not totally precise, because at the very end of the Mishnah, we did talk about Drusa, and we did talk about the Drusa of a bird, an attack of another bird onto a kosher bird. But in the meantime, however, from our Mishnah standpoint, we didn't really explore the anatomy of a bird. But meanwhile, we're now talking about the korkovan of a bird, we're talking about the gizzard of a bird. The gizzard of a bird is basically its stomach. Okay, there is a little sac before it. In other words, there's the esophagus and the zephyr, the crop. Then, I guess you can call them more esophagus, if you will. And then there's the gizzard, the korkovan. Now, this gizzard has a double pouch to it, an outer pouch and an inner pouch. And the Gemara over here says, quoting Rav Yochanan, that if you have a nekev in the korkovan, that's the outer pouch. V'kish lo kayim, however, the inner pouch is perfectly intact and non-perforated, kosher. So such a bird with such a gizzard would in fact be kosher, because as long as the inner pouch is sealed, so therefore no, there will be no leakage and we will be good. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So now that we had a true statement by Rav Yochanan, what if I inverted it? What if, let's say, there was a puncture in the inner pouch, but the outer pouch of the gizzard was in fact intact? What would we say then? My. Tashma dam Rav Nachman nikev zeh. Below there, kosher.
How do you know there's an inner point?
All this can only be detected after Shechita. You're not going
to
know any of this.
You have to kind of dissect it out to look inside.
And right. And in general, we will not presume it. With most of the treifas, by the way, the point is going to be very well. Meaning, we're not going to be checking most of these, and so under normal circumstances,
the assumption is
that's fine. But if we find any of these defects, the animal is going to be treifa. So nikav zebelo ze kasher. So the statement made by Rav Nachman is that if one is perforated but the other one is not, so then it would be kasher. So and with no discrimination in terms of whether it was the outer one or the inner one, as long as one of them is intact, the bird is going to be kasher. It's not going to be treifa.
Well,
we'll get to that. That's coming up. Amar Rav Shnei Oris Yeshla Leveshet Chiton Edom Apnimi Lavan Nikav Zebelo Ze Kasher. Now, Rav says, as far as the esophagus is concerned, now why are we jumping from the korkovan to the esophagus? Because in this regard, they're very similar in nature. They're double lined, right? The gizzard's got a pouch within a pouch, and the esophagus is a tube within a tube. And so the outer tube is red, the inner tube is white. We've seen this already before. In fact, we're going to see it right now also. Shnei Oros Yesh Levesha, the esophagus is a double layer tube. Chiton Adam Pnimi Lavan. And the outer tube is red, the inner tube is white. Nikev zebelo zeh kasher. So, and nekev zebelo zeh, if one of them is perforated but the other is not, so the animal is not a treifa. The animal is kasher. Now, lama lemeimer chitzon adam panimi lavan. Now, why was that necessary detail? Meaning, we could just look at the animal and we could realize the nature of the esophagus. The Gemara says the ichal of treifa. So, first and foremost, the Gemara says side halacha. And that is that if an inversion of the esophagus, meaning if you, when you, after you check through the animal, you find, now how the esophagus got inverted, I cannot explain to you how we got here, but if the esophagus turns out to be inverted, you're looking at the esophagus and the outer layer is white and the inner layer is red, and you're looking and you're like, that's weird. Not only is that weird, that animal's a treifa. So, ibailahu nikvash name zeshlo keneged zeh mahu. Okay. So now we have already discussed now the gizzard and the esophagus, and we said that a perforation rendering the animal a treifa has to go through both layers. By the gizzard, by the korkovan, it has to go through the outer and inner layer. And the same thing is true by the esophagus, it has to go through the outer and inner layer. If it only goes through one of the layers and it does not matter which one, the animal is not a treifa, the animal's kosher. Good. Excuse me. Now, if a perforation goes all the way through, so the animal is a treifa. By the bird, if it goes through both layers of the korkovan, and by an animal, if it goes through both layers of the esophagus. The animal is, in fact, a treifa. Question on the table. Let's say there is a hole through both of the layers, but the hole's not aligned. So in other words, I have a hole in the outer layer, a hole in the inner layer, and they're just simply off alignment. So can we now say that because the holes were not aligned, so therefore the esophagus is, in fact, sealed, and there's not going to be any leakage, and we're good? Or what's the other possibility? Even though as we find them, they're not aligned, but maybe there could have been movement while the animal was alive. And it could very well be that even though when shechted, they were not aligned, but prior to the shechita, because of the movement of the esophagus, so maybe they weren't lined. And we can ask the same question by the Korkovan. Because of the movement of the Korkovan, even though they was discovered unaligned, but maybe previously it was aligned, which means that there was in fact leakage. And that would mean that the animal is in fact a trefa. So what do we say? So I remember Zusha Mishmeh the Rav Papa Bevesha Kasha Bekorkovan Pasal. So the first opinion offered in the Gemara by Rav Papa, in the name of Rav Papa, is that by the esophagus, an unaligned hole is kosher, but by the korkovan of a bird, an unaligned hole would be, in fact be a trefa. Now, matkav Rav Ashi adraba. Now Rav Ashi says, now if you asked me, I'd say it's just the opposite. Veshadachla bayi upaya bay, ravach, gamdale upashtale, zimnin demehin, demehin dazdin bahade adade. So he says, let's take a look at the nature of the esophagus. You know, the esophagus, food is running down the esophagus, upaya bay. Now that's an interesting line of the Gemara, and Rashi does struggle a little bit with what exactly the Gemara means by that upaya bay. If you take a look at Rashi inside, Rashi writes, so ekis. So it groans from the esophagus. Now, even as Rashi says that, so obviously we know that the air that is going in and out of the animal is going down the trachea, not the esophagus. Sha'afapi, and Rashi recognizes that. And Rashi says, Sha'afapi sha'akana motzi kol. Now, obviously, it is the trachea that is producing the sound. So Rashi says, what we mean basically to say is that because the esophagus, there goes my trachea. So because the esophagus is muscular in nature and soft in nature, and because of the air going in and out of the trachea, so basically that creates movement in the esophagus. And so therefore, even though we discovered the holes unaligned, but that doesn't mean that that was always the case because of the movement of the trachea and the esophagus next to it. So therefore, we can assume they are aligned. You can continue in Rashi. I'm not going to go through it. Rashi also offers another pshat and what exactly the Gemara means. But in any event, here's what the Gemara clearly means. We cannot assume that the esophagus is a static organ, and we have to assume movement and flexibility. And so therefore, if there are holes in the outer and inner layer, and even though it was discovered unaligned, we have to suspect that maybe at one point in time, they became aligned. Korkovan, back to the Gemara, Korkovan demeinech nayach kidekaikai. But the gizzard is a more static organ, and if the holes were discovered were not aligned, we can safely assume that that was the case even while the animal was alive, and therefore we can assume that there was no leakage. Amala Rav Acha Brei de Rav Yosef le Rav Ashi, Hachi Amina Mishmei de Marzut Shadamim Mishmei de Rav Papa Kavasech. And the Gemara says that the same thing was said over in the name of Rav Papa, just like you said it. So basically, agreement to this point. Okay. And those are the five halachas of Rav Yochanan that we just went over in the Gemara. Amar Rabba. We're on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud, four lines from the bottom. Amar Rabba Krum Sha'ala Machmas Maka Beveshet. So let's say now you have seals of the Veshet. So in other words, there was a hole, there was some sort of perforation, and the body created a natural seal. And so basically our discussion is going to be, how do we look at these seals? Do we look at them as permanent fixtures, which would plug the hole and therefore save the animal from being a trefa? Or no, basically no, not necessarily, and it's therefore we look at it as a whole, and therefore it's going to be a trefa. So, krum shalom machmas maka beveshet. So let's say there was a perforation in the esophagus and some sort of seal grew on top of it. So ain't a krum. So Rabbi says we do not view that as a seal, and so therefore, even though we discover the esophagus with some sort of adhesion on it, nevertheless the animal is still going to be rendered a trefa. A really interesting Rashi. I'm going to go through the Rashi inside. Rashi writes in a krum, v'im nika v'nistam afilo alta bostima ava inu miskayemis. And Rashi says, and I don't care how thick the seal is, a seal over the hole of an esophagus simply is not going to be enduring, and therefore the animal is going to be a trefa. Kid amrina b'yavamos, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Yavamos b'kroshavcha, nikev pasal. Okay, certainly a very sensitive halacha, but the Gemara in Yavamos describes where if a man has a perforation, a hole in his organ, so he is now considered a kreshavcha. He falls under the category of kreshavcha, and he cannot marry a Jewish woman. Right, that's one of the isurim mentioned in Parshas Ki Seitzei, and detailed in the I'm pretty sure it's the sixth parak of Yevamos. In any event, Nistam Kasher. So the Vizehu Psul Shechozel Lechshero. Now somehow, if there is some sort of seal over there that is organically grows in the hole, so the man would be considered a kasher. Now the reading of the Gemara over there is very careful. Zehu Psul Shechozel Lechshero. This is a psul which can then go be reinstated to a state of kasher. Now, when you see the word zehu, what does that mean? I mean, that's a limitation. Oh, yeah. Only in that case is it going to work out. Zelamote krum shalamach basmaka berea sheino krum. The chol nekuve de trefas la mahanya lehu stima. And over here, Rashi points out the exclusion is all the trefas. Meaning, whenever we talk about a perforation, if in fact you have now a seal that grows over the, on top of the perforation, that does not help. Right? Rashi, I'm going to reread that line of Rashi. Kol nikuve de trefas la mahanya lustima, de salka bo lachas man. Because what's going to end up happening is it's going to fall out after some time. Velo damish l'reish nikva v'dofen sos masa. Ulustima's kaved b'mar lustima d'irachayim b'chacholos. Now, Rashi notes over here at the bottom, now there are exceptions to this rule. Meaning, I said very categorically that I don't believe in seals. Okay. Not, yeah. Better stated, there is no seal that's a permanent seal. But Rashi says, even though as I say that, I recognize that there are exceptions to the rule. So, in fact, you don't even have to go that far to find exceptions to the rule. We just had it in our daf. Right? The gallbladder that had a puncture in it. But it was, if it was flush against the liver, so that's a good seal. So Rashi says, and there are other examples as well. Right? The stimas kaved bamara. V'lo dami l'reya shenikva v'dofen sos masa. Let's say there's a puncture in the lung, And the wall is going to be covering it up. That's a case that's coming up later in our perek, and the liver and the gallbladder, which we just got done discussing, and also stimas yirechaim b'chacholus, and in the colon, there's going to be a hole in the colon, which later on we're going to be discussing. Under certain circumstances, a seal would be good. Rashi says da'u stima mi'ikara hi. There, Rashi says, that wasn't the seal that grew on subsequent to the hole, but that was a pre-existing condition of the animal where it naturally flushes against another part of the body, and therefore that kind of seal is in fact an acceptable seal. Okay. Much discussion about that, Rashi, but really interesting in terms of which stimas are considered good, which are not. Generally, Rashi says they're never good. But again, with exceptions to the rule. And Rashi tries to give a formulation as to why they are exceptions. Amar Rabba. We are on the very bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Veshet ein lo bedika mibechutz el mibifnim. You can only check an esophagus from the inside, not from the outside. Now, we already got done saying that the esophagus is red, has two layers to it. The outer layer is red, the inner layer is white. And so therefore, you really can't tell any kind of cut or perforation from the outside because it's red. So you have to turn it inside out. Now, obviously, you can only do that after you shech the animal. So, So the Gemara says, now, why is that important to know? The Safek Drusa. Because of the case of Safek Drusa. Now, what is the case of Safek Drusa? Maybe another animal attacked our animal. What does that mean, maybe? Meaning, either you saw the attack or you didn't see the attack. What does it mean, maybe? So Rashi over here, once again, references the Gemara that we're going to be seeing a week and a half from now on Nun Gimel. And Rashi over here paints a scenario where you understand the maybe, the suffix drusa. Take a look at Rashi. We're going to do the Rashi inside. Rashi could go, What happened is as follows. Here's what we saw. We saw a lion go into the pen with our domestic animals, with our cow. And here's the only evidence that we know. We know that the cow was screaming. We know that the lion was silent. And that's all the information we have. So we have a lot of circumstantial evidence that there was an attack. But after that, we're really not sure. So over here, because of the suffix, so you don't need a lot of evidence in order to render the animal kosher. You just simply need to check the area of the possible attack and see whether or not there was penetration into the interior of the animal. And Rashi writes, it has to be read in that area. Ad shi'adim keneged hachalal. Uvisimanim ad shi'adimu hasimanim. Now, if the attack went on one of the pipes, you have to see whether or not the red penetrated into the pipe. Now, in order to see whether or not there was red that penetrated into the interior, so by the esophagus, because of its nature, because of its anatomy, I simply cannot tell from the outside. I'm going to have to invert it, turn it inside out, and look at the white interior of the esophagus to see whether or not any of it has turned red, which by a suffix drusa would render the animal trefa. And if it's not red, so then by a suffix drusa, the animal would be kshera. Good. Hahu, back to the Gemara. Hahi suffix drusa dasa lekame de Rabba. In fact, a very case of suffix drusa was brought in front of Rabba, and havaka badik le Rabba levesha me abrai. So Rabba did an examination of the esophagus, but oddly enough, Rabba did not turn the esophagus inside out. And he's only checking it from the exterior. So Amar le Abaye v'hamarhu da'amar veshet ein lo bedika. Now Abaye, who was a ben bias by Rabba, a student of Rabba, he knew Rabba's psukim inside out. Look at that. Okay, there we go. That was my pun for the day. Thank you very much. So he knew everything that Rabba said, and so he looks at his Rebbe and he's wondering, like, Rebbe, what are you doing? Right, you're looking at the esophagus. You're not turning it inside out. What's going on over here? V'amarhu da'amar veshet ein lo bedika ela mibifnim. So afke Rabba ubatke vishtache chalai trekorte dama v'tarfa. Okay, good. So Rabba turned it inside out, and he found that there were two little spots of blood on the interior of the esophagus, and he rendered the animal trefa. Now the Gemara says, now did Rabba just forget? Was Rabba confused? So the Gemara says, Rabbi nami lechadu di la'abayehu. As far as Rabbi's concerned, he knew exactly what he was doing, and he was doing it in front of Abaye to see whether or not Abaye would correct him or not correct him. He was testing his student. Okay. Yeah, in other words, it's a great educational tool. So lechadud l'abaye hu d'abaye. Amar ula, yashav lo kotz beveshet ein choshesh in shema hivri. Now, our next halacha for the day and our last halacha for the day, and that's going to be a thorn in the esophagus. Now, we got to read the Gemara very carefully. Yashav lo kotz beveshet. So we're now talking about a thorn that is basically sitting in the veshet, right? Literally, yashav, sitting in the veshet. So, ein choshesh in shema hivri. Now, we're going to struggle a little bit with this word on the Gemara. We're not concerned shema hivri. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi over here, now, generally speaking, the word bari means healthy. So reading the Gemara literally, it's really difficult. Right, we are not concerned that the animal becomes healthy. Why is that a concern? Meaning, shouldn't the Gemara say the animal is healthy? What does that mean? Ein choshishin shema hivri. So Rashi, I'm getting there. So Rashi says ein choshishin shema nekev haya vihibri. So one pshat Rashi says in the Gemara is, look, if there's a thorn in the esophagus, so what could possibly have happened? What could happen is that there was a hole in the esophagus, and it's sealed up. Now that's one possibility of what the Gemara means. V'ani shemati v'hivri lashon nikav kamo ubara asam bechar vosam. Right, Rashi's mastery of Tanakh. So Rashi says, you know, there is a pasuk in Yecheskel in the 23rd perek that describes that the word bara can sometimes mean the actual hole itself. So etymologically, it's not the normal translation of the word bara, but it is precedented that the word bara can actually mean a hole. And so the way to read the Gemara, according to Rashi's own pshat, is that we're not concerned about a hole in the esophagus. Now, the Gemara is going to challenge Ula from a lot of places. So, sorry. Ein choshen shema hivri. Now you see the parentheses? Those are the simanim, the mnemonic aids to help us remember all the various challenges against Ula. So we're going to go quickly through all these challenges. Ulula maishtam isafik drusa. Now, as far as Ula is concerned, remember now we had a possible drusa, and what did we need in order to render the animal kosher? We need an examination. And meanwhile, if you know that there was a thorn stuck in the esophagus, you're not going to require an examination. So kasavra ula in choshishin lesafik drusa. So Ula's response is, that doesn't bother me. Meaning if I only had a suffix drusa, Ula would say I would require no examination. So the Gemara says, what about the classic case of suffix? two pieces of fat in front of a person. One was chalav, the other was shuman. He ate one of the pieces. He does not remember which piece he ate. Under those circumstances, the person has to bring an ashem talui. Clearly, there is cause for concern in a case of suffix. So the Gemara says, Hasam is chazik isura. So again, Ula shrugs his shoulders. Yeah, in that case over there, I know there was chalav in front of the person. I just don't know if he ate it or if he didn't eat it. So there, it's working against a chazaka. Over here, we assume that animal is healthy. And now you want to tell me that because there's a thorn in the esophagus, now the animal is a trefa? No. I have to either know the animal's a trefa, or otherwise I assume the animal's not a trefa. So the Gemara says, okay, but you shecht an animal with a knife, and you look after the shechita, and you find that there's a nick in the knife afterwards. Now, we don't know when this nick came about. Now, it could be, as we described in the first parak of the Masechta, that the nick came after the shechita, but we don't know. And meanwhile, the animal is not kosher. So the Gemara says, Hasam Yisrael Reusa Besakin. So, but Ula says, okay, but again, I'm looking at the Reusa, and it's in the knife, the very same knife that was used for Shechita. Mm-hmm. Obviously, over there, that's cause for concern. Every time we have a case of Safik Tumah in Rishos Yachid, do you know that we're always going to be Machmir? So the Gemara says, to which Ula's counter argument is very straightforward. Yeah, what about if it's in a Rishus Harabim? You know what happens to a suffix there? A suffix over there is going to be Tar. Over there, the reason why none of that bothers me is because that is halacha lamoshe misinai about Tuma. And that's not translatable, that's not transferable to other types of suffix. Especially over here when we're talking about a suffix trefa, where it's going against the chazaka that the animal is a healthy animal. So Yosef Ha'u Meir Rabban Kamei Rav Kana V'Yosef Kamer Nimtzei Sitmar. Now, going back to the original ruling of Ula, he talked about Yashav Lo Kotz Beveshet. Where, how do we find the thorn? The thorn was lodged into the esophagus. It's sitting in the esophagus. Now, he believes that that's not what Ula said. He believes that what Ula said is that you found the thorn in the esophagus, but it wasn't lodged in the esophagus. Aval Yashav Chayshinan. If you find a thorn lodged in the esophagus, now we have to be concerned that the thorn penetrated all the way through, and so therefore the animals are trefa. Amar lahu Rav Kahana, lo tatzitzu lei. Yashav Itmar. Rav Kahana says, pay no attention to him. When Ula made the statement, he said Yashav. He did not say Nimseis. Aval Nimseis lo itzrich lei la'ula. Dukula chive briyasa kutzi achlan. Do you know what the diet of every animal consists of? Thorns. Animals eat thorns. I need Ula to teach me that if I find a thorn in the esophagus, the animal is not going to be a trefa. I got news flash for the day. Every animal eats thorns. I didn't need Ula to tell me that thorn found in the esophagus, not Yashav, but Nimtzeis. If thorns are found in the esophagus, the animal is not a trefa. That is a normal condition of every single animal. That's the diet of every single animal. What Ula is giving us is a chiddush, and the chiddush is Yashav. Even if it's lodged in the esophagus, nevertheless, we're not concerned that the animal is a trefa unless we find that it pierced and penetrated the entire esophagus from one end to the other end. Otherwise, we're not concerned. Okay, we'll stop over here. Turbat Saveshet coming up tomorrow.